Hello, everyone. Thank you, Nancy, for being here. Prompt ahead of time, as always, taking care of us and our community. We really appreciate you so much, Nancy.
And thank you. You're welcome.
And hope that it brings great blessings to you and your family. I seem to recall you've got another member on the way.
No, not anymore. Jesse's here, and we are...
That's the end of... Oh, really?
No more pregnancy.
They're all there.
They're all here.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well,
so... but, you know, that could be something.
Yeah. Knowing the multiplying gratitude of your family, I would say anything is possible.
I would say so, too. So,
but for you've got a level playing field. Okay.
Yeah, I'll keep that under my hat with the kids.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we just thank God for you and your many, many extensions of the great Nancy Gary Union.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we are happy to be here today. So happy to be here today.
I know. And you just returned from a wonderful vacation.
I did. So we're just happy to be together again. This is always such a, the blessing is a blessing. And, you know, this time away, this part of the day, it's just perfect for us. And we're in deep gratitude about that. So thank you.
And, you know, I was just thinking about how amazingly different this summer has been with our weather. I don't know if it's like that everywhere in the United States or the world, but certainly in the central region of the United States, we haven't hit 100 yet, which is like God's back in charge of the world. And we are so grateful. We're going to talk about gratitude today. And I want to begin by expressing my gratitude to our community for your wonderful support in asking for help in recovering so many things that were lost in our, in all four of our websites, actually. One of the things that I realized maybe two or three weeks ago that really, really prompted this request is I was speaking with my webmaster, and he said, well, I've got one piece of really bad news. And he said, you've lost all of your recording archives. And I said, no, you're kidding. It can't be lost. Let me tell you what that means for you if it had been. If it had been. And a lot of you who are loving the blessing sometimes find that you have other things you'd rather be doing on Sunday afternoon. But you want to tune in. You want to get the blessing. You may pause for a few minutes, receive the blessing, and then you're going to go back and you're going to listen to the message tomorrow or the next day or the next day, or scroll back even 2 weeks before and listen to the presentations that preceded the blessing. You wouldn't have been able to do that anymore. It was all gone. And the tears rolled down my cheek because I thought about the inspiration and the presence of Christ pouring through me to give you insights that you really, really needed to help you in your receiving of the blessing. And I said, no, this isn't possible. I was talking to Tim. And he said, well, it may not be impossible, but I don't think you could afford what it would take to get it back. So often, Bless his heart. Tim is not a scarcity or poverty oriented person, but he has great respect for my limitation and the church's limitation of funds to do all the things we would like to expand and protect. And so he gives me the optimal range of cost and what it would take and so forth. And I just said, Tim, stop it right now. There is nothing that God can't do. And who do we serve here? We don't serve limited expectations. We serve the Lord of life. We serve God. And we extend ourselves into the blessings of Christ. This is not something that's going to be ever defined by boundaries. And then I said, I don't know how this will be done, but it will be done. So just chalk it up. Get ready to get busy next week. And like I said, I don't know when or how, but it will be done. And he said, well, Glenda, I've never heard you preach like that before. And I said, I never had such a treasure being taken away before. And, we won't allow it. We just won't allow it. Well, later that night, I was in prayer, and Yeshua showed up, not visually in person, but in voice, which he often does when he's got a really strong message to say or reply to with me. And he said, Glenda, you have had a treasure waiting for you and out there, but you never open the door on it. And I said, What do you mean? I show up every Sunday. I write and show up to everybody who requests a blessing. And he says, have you ever asked? And I said, well, I don't. I just take for granted that this is what you want. And you'll make sure that everything is supplied and happens. And he says, well, I do. But am I the only one that's supposed to be, is this supposed to just be a two-person team? And it kind of made me chuckle. I thought, well, this could be a one-person thing. And it would get done if you're there. And he said, no, it wouldn't. He said, when I walked upon the earth, I knew from the beginning I couldn't do this alone. And that's when it really hit me. If he couldn't build a ministry and a church alone, what in the dickens am I trying to do alone? And he said again, have you asked? He said, you've got a great team. He said, you put together a wonderful congregation of people who love you. You think you might ask. And now, the interesting thing, yes, of course I did. And the response was wonderful. And no gift is too small, because even a penny would enroll you as a team member. And I really, really understood the parable of the widow's mite for the first time. Is that none of us can do what we came to do just as a soul. Why even be born? Hey, it's pretty nice in heaven. It's got lots of heritage and family, friends, not to mention angels, and of course, God our Father. Why incarnate? If you're not going to do something that has tangible results. that can build, that can grow, that can bring a fertile field to harvest. And all it takes is a penny to be a member. You've enrolled in the teamwork of building something in this world. You know, and the irony is that it's we humans who have built this world. God created everything else, and the reason he created his children and created them in his image so they could take the next step while he rested. And he gave us one day out of seven so we could rest. And he's having a pretty good time resting. And when he decided he needed to be back here with us to finish the job, well, he created himself as an offspring or an extension of his being. God is not a human being. He's a soul. He's a source of all life. He's too great to be walking on the streets of a fragile world we created. But he created himself as a man that could be here with us and carry our burdens, lift our loads, and expand our spirit. We had been asking for that for a very long time. And he said, okay, get ready, I'm coming. But we come, and we kind of like being a soul, because that's where we feel closest to God. And we're a little hesitant about joining the physical world that was created after God created everything else, because humans can be domineering, humans can be unkind, humans can be selfish, and they can be really picky about who they associate with. And so when we don't have much, we think, you know, I think I'd better stay in the realm of the soul. And I don't have much to give. They would just shun me. And so we don't think about giving a penny. What does that penny mean? It means the same thing as it means in the parable. As it means in the parable, if you had so much faith as a grain of mustard, a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, come, and it will come. So you see, for the powers of God, quantity means nothing. Nothing. I've mentioned this to you many times before, but in a different way, a different context. There are at least, if not many, many more, but at least 2 major dimensions. I guess we could include the world as a 3rd dimension. Okay, but I'll get to the major dimension, the 2 major ones that you really, really can see and appreciate. There's the quantifiable universe, and that's where everything is measured in time, space, density, influence, how much energy it contains, and forces measured also in force and gravity, anything that can be measured. That includes the weight of a particle. Okay? It includes the velocity of wind. Any measurable thing makes up that dimension of the universe. And God created it. He put it there because all of these dimensions of length and weight allow for the variable substances that can have both unity and boundary. You know, if there's a hurricane coming, we kind of like to be in a shelter, preferably inside a bank vault. But we like to be protected from those winds, because not everything is compatible in weight, force, and measure of some kind. So we think when we don't have much of that, we don't have any influence. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to spend a night with a mosquito? I bet you didn't get much sleep. And that's because real influence comes from the quantum field. And that's where there is no space, no time, no weight, no dimension, no boundary, and we can speak freely and be spoken to. This is how we receive inspiration, the miraculous side of life, guidance, and dreams, information that is beyond explanation. This is what was happening to Nikola Tesla during his life, and he had a lot of difficulty translating it into the workable systems of the quantifiable field, where he had to show to supporters that his ideas can actually work in this field. And when they saw that it does work, it scared the dickens out of them. How could one man have this, have his finger on something this powerful? And of course, that pretty much ended the developing genius of Nikola Tesla. But he's not the only one. Through the ages, one example I love, because it's a great man I studied, and that was Leonardo da Vinci. He described and did the drawings for a helicopter. And this was back in the Italian Renaissance, when we didn't even have the power to run a helicopter. He had it all drawn out. Where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from this field. It came from that higher field. All right. Now, when God turned Adam and Eve loose, and he says, okay, guys, well, you don't seem to want to work by the rules I created. So here, you go create a world and see how you make it work. That's when we begin to get this world where there's currency and banking and fuel and vehicles and homes and housing and loans and disease, all of it. So we built the world. Now, we built the world out of substances that God created. And because quantum, the zero point field, where the palaces of God are, they still pervade our life. And so, yes, we can be in all three at once. And those who have mastered the ability to travel through all three at once do have a better life. But there's an awful lot of people that only live in the world. I'm putting parentheses around that with my mouth. The world of created interchange that has an economic system embedded in it. It has a privilege system embedded in it. And all the other things that we associate with the world. It has a credit system. It has a human history system embedded in it. These are all the things that we were sent out and yeah, can we change this? God can change it. I think what happens for us is we keep going and we want to make it better. And then we get to the point, but I can't afford that. See, that was the point I was at. We had been demolished, literally demolished by what happened to us. And it wasn't just somebody trying to steal money with a fraudulent purchase on a stolen credit card. Now, we've dealt with that through the whole history of an online store, and we've handled it very well. Now, we got hit 12,000 times, 12,000 charges. And Tim, our webmaster, knew exactly what it was. He says, this happens, fortunately, not all the time, but it's called, failure of function, to where everything that belongs to us will just be locked down by the internet police. They won't allow anything through. And for many, many stores and businesses, the, failure of function can close them down permanently. They're gone. So we were hit. And, from everything I can deduct is that we were hit because we're Christian. That was during the months of May and June when, our military outreach was making a lot of enemies for a Christian function. We were doing things in a non-Christian part of the world that probably was developing a lot of hatred for who we are and willing just to strike. They didn't care. Whoever it was didn't care. What mattered is that we qualified to receive the blunt of their hatred. And we didn't know at first what was happening. I just noticed for 2 weeks along, we hadn't had any orders. I thought, that's strange. And I asked him, and he went into our merchant service, and he says, well, you've had several hundred orders, but Authorized.net is not allowing them through because they know they're fraudulent. And I went, oh my goodness, it can't be like that. So I talked to everyone I needed to talk to. And as I did, everything we tried was overcome by evil. They just step up to a higher level of ambush until we got 12,000 and we were shut down. So if you had trouble with our website during that time, we were shut down. It wasn't your fault. And, it wasn't that, and actually, thank goodness for one thing is that your purchases were not at risk because they were shut down also. Everything was shut down and I didn't know it. Now I won't get into the details because I think you've heard enough, but it does lead to what we need to look at today on how we receive, how we give, how we trust, and how we get along with each other to the betterment of everyone. And there are skills involved, skills that Yeshua taught us. I'm going to bring them up one by one. And, first of all, he says that you will receive everything by faith. Now, why does he say that? But now that I have described these layers of the universe, who has the right of overturning anything? The Creator, of course. And angels can come to our defense. Angels can prevent accidents. Angels watch over us and intervene many times. Our saints, our relatives in heaven, they help us. They do. Okay. So there is a place where nothing can be intercepted by destruction and evil. Because when God inspected his creation, his stamp of approval was good. And that means everything he created qualifies to exist in duplicate form in the quantum field. There's a quality of it in perfection that will never be touched. It was approved for immortality because he created it. And this is why there's a part of you that will never die. Never die. And can be reconstructed even if your life on earth has long since passed. This is one of the interesting passages in the book of Revelation written by John. And he said, and the first to be taken to heaven will be the dead, will be the graves will be open, and those will be taken to heaven. Well, that's because there's part of you that never died. And this even goes for those who are dust in the earth, because dust in the earth still carries the essence of you that connects with the immortal you. So don't think you've been left out just because you chose not to go underground. But I want to give you a very real miracle I can share with you. And that is the tear that happened to the painting of the Lamb and the Lion. It wasn't very long into my expedition into the world, sharing it before congregations of people coming to receive it with their amazement and love. I was setting it up, and we were making sure the lights overhead were positioned exactly right so as to brighten the painting but not create glare on it. And one of the attachments broke loose and it fell into the painting. Into it. I was watching it and was, pardon me, I'm going to have to get a drink of water. I was watching and then horrified to see it fall directly into the painting in a way that would hurt the painting. And it did. It cut about an inch long incision. I ran, and of course, tears were rolling down my eyes, and I put my hand behind it. And I put my other hand on the face, and I just said, oh, Lord, please forgive me that I let this happen, or that it could have happened through some negligence. Please forgive me. And I just held it that way for a little while, and then I pushed the pieces back together. I mean, there was no question it was an incision, you know. It had a little flap on it, and I pushed them back together with my fingers. And we just went on with the setup, and I didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't want them to be thinking that something bad had happened because it was in their church. When it was over, I packed it up, put it in it. We had a giant padded case for it, kind of like a quilted bedspread. And actually, it had been two quilted bedspreads that we sewed together and put a zipper on the long end, so it was perfectly protected for travel. Anyway, I didn't open it when I got home because I had to get some sleep. I had to pray, and I didn't want to look at it anymore. And I just went to sleep and got up fairly early in the morning. And I wanted to look at it before Brian was awake and before anybody called me, and I knew they would be. I took the unzipped it and let the case fall to the floor, pulled it out, and I looked for where the tear was. And it wasn't there anymore. The painting was perfect. I know you've heard the story, so there's no need to go into details on it, but there's a very important detail here. And the important detail was this. Yeshua said, there was a perfect replica of it in heaven. So all we had to do was bring the two together, and it healed instantly. That makes me wonder if for all of us, there's a perfect replica in heaven. Would it just slightly make sense to you that God would send his beloved child into a world with dangers and troubles and possibilities for evil? Hadn't been created yet, but the possibilities, of course. Our Creator knows all the things that could be, good or bad, and there was nothing bad here at that time. But he saw the potential, and would he have sent you in without retaining a copy? I'm thinking not. Because I've been through a bunch of miracles. And they didn't happen like a magician came in, waved a wand, and said, abracadabra. It was like they happened without me even knowing. And what it felt like is that I was just put back together again. Makes me have a slightly different perspective on the resurrection. And that is that the perfect image of Christ was never damaged. But he went through all the pain, all the suffering, in order to evoke the gift to humankind, which was the gift of forgiveness, the gift of acceptance, the gift of instructing us in what was actually possible for us. He didn't need to show off his ability to heal the dead. He'd already done that. And I think in some ways, the healing of Lazarus was a strategic planning for what was yet to come, showing from his perspective, I can already heal the dead. That's not what is about to happen for me. What's about to happen for me is the immortal putting together the self that lived. Therefore, I can be compassionate eternally for everyone going through this. And the perfect self that was created in heaven, now we are joined. That's what I feel is the message. And the great takeaway is not, in my opinion, that he turned the human body into an immortal body. Because I think the human body and the human life he lived is a tremendous gift that continues. That's how he can have so much compassion for us. That's how he can understand our problems. That's how we can ask. And he really understands how to put the bolt back in the door. Because he did it. I think he retained unto himself everything he lived and put it together with everything that was the perfected and perfect, innocent Son of God. This is why he didn't want, and I think the key to that revision that I'm making, I could be wrong because it's coming from me, okay, it's not in the, but there is something in the Bible that's a clue. When Mary Magdalene wanted to touch him, he wouldn't let her. He said, I have not yet returned to my Father. In other words, he's going to make a happy glue. He's not going to get rid of that human body. That's what I'm saying. He's going to take it to heaven where he can have everything he worked to create. See, this is one thing God's creator did not create. He didn't create it. When he was through creating the earth, the animals, the herbal life, the seas, everything that belongs in nature, when he finished creating it, he did not create a body for himself. That is biblical. He wanted rest. And so he created two bodies that he knew would multiply. And then maybe he went and had a margarita. I don't know. I like to insert little thoughts of humor into my dialogue because it makes it real for you. He didn't create a body for himself. Not yet. Not yet. He let us create the world. And when he saw we were doing a pretty shabby job of it most of the time, then he created a body for himself. And that's why it had to come through a virgin. That's why it had to not be sexually created. And it's my belief that where God is concerned, once created, always created. See, I think Yeshua took the body with him in order to fuse it perfectly with the perfect person, the perfect essence of God that he always was. Because he was creating for us relatability. Relatability. That's it. Now, because of that relatability, we really can ask, and he will hear us as we are. He doesn't have to go through a translator. We ask. And he says, oh, I got you. I see the problem. We're on it. But sometimes that we're on it statement, and you can feel it. You can feel it when it kicks in. It might not happen in 30 seconds. It might not happen in 30 days. Not because he can't do it or he's old. And by the way, he has a big team. Okay? He didn't just... This is what he was creating with the apostles. He let them have, many people say to me, well, why did he let the apostles suffer like they did? Because they need to retain a relatable body as well. But at the same time, St. Peter stands at the gates of heaven. How can he do that? Because he's in both places. He can understand you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. And he also is standing at a place above where he can go around above and through all the things that are blocking the solving of problems. Okay? I hope this makes sense to you. But there's a little more, because now, just in the next major revelation to the apostles about ask and you shall receive, okay? The next is knock and the door will open. Now, that's about actually being an authority in your life. You knock when you think it's ready to come. You knock. And when it's ready to come, it will come. And you might say, well, I knock all the time and it doesn't come. What's wrong? Well, first of all, you haven't asked. You gotta ask first. And then there's a space expected. Here's why. Because they're not going to, well, I can't say this as an absolute, because every case could be unique and there's nothing God can't do. But typically, in order to solve your problem and bring you the miracle you want, they got to move around some other people. In other words, part of the reason you have problems in the world is because this doggone world is sticky glue. And you got to move around one thing to get to something else. You got to move another around to get to something else. Okay. Well, God's not going to go in and apply for a loan. I mean, he's working from on high, but he also understands that liberating you from a problem other people are expecting you to serve, and you do serve your problems, not for your benefit, but for others. Doctors expect, it's a horrible thing to say, but it's true. Doctors and the medical establishment are expecting you to pay them for that hip replacement. Now, in order to get that done without damaging and harming those who expected to be paid, well, you may have to go through a few little processes like, you know, doc, I've been doing this therapy, and it's really working miracles for me. And I've been taking a supplement that is being studied now to rebuild cartilage. And you, in other words, you're putting your homework in. In that space between doing and receiving, you're doing what you're expected to do. And then all of a sudden, it's done. And it wasn't done because those supplements were miraculous or the therapy was miraculous, although it could have been helpful. But the most help it was accomplishing is that it was asking every day on your behalf that things change in the world on your behalf. Things were lining up on your behalf. Your children had been promising to come and take care of you. You thought that was really nice and they would be there while you have surgery and recuperate. Wonderful. They don't want to be told, well, we don't need you now. But, Mom, are you sure Are you sure you did you have an MRI and really prove that this is done, or is this just wishful thinking? I know you've been there. You've experienced it. People expect you to go through some of the worldly procedures. They don't like miracles. For lots of reasons I'll touch on in another time. But we are getting toward the end of our time for this presentation. People are scared of miracles, because you're dismantling rules they think are hard and fast. And I'll just give you one little piece of conclusion on that. The rules of man are not hard and fast. Science shows, used to be by the decade, now it's by the year or the month, it's changing that fast, that there are no rules that cannot be rethought, restudied, revised. The laws of man don't hold. They hold water for a little while, and then the water creates rust in the bucket, and you got to get another bucket. The laws of God are eternal. They do hold. We did a seminar once upon a time, which I think I'm going to actually redo, because I want to redo it with some of this comparative information about the laws of man, which also include sciences that we think are infallible, and they're not infallible. We just don't know enough yet to know they're not infallible. Okay, I think I want to redo that, in which we bring up the laws of God. One of them being the constancy of light. And how can you use that rule to secure and stabilize your life? The law of cause and effect. God created that. We didn't. We would have loved to bypass that one. Let me tell you, honey, if we could bypass the law of cause and effect, everybody would be lined up in that procession. It doesn't go away for God. And that's why so many of the parables that Yeshua taught were about the blessing that comes from respecting the laws of cause and effect. He also called himself the light of the world, because what he taught us is a constant. We can center our faith on that. Okay, he created so many parables around the law, and there are actually more than 12. I just used back then, in those days, the 12 most obvious laws of the universe that everybody can understand and see as infallible. I didn't want to bring in things like quantum electrodynamics. You know, we don't really need to know that. We just need to know enough that there are laws. And I'm not a good enough scientist to talk about some of these things. Actually, I'm not a scientist at all. I'm a scientifically astute observer. Let's put it that way. And actually, I did go as far as quantum nuclear science in college. So I got the vocabulary, but that's about all I've got. Getting back to this, is that people like to think that there are infallible laws in the world they created. Sorry, there are no infallible laws in the world humans created, because we don't know enough. We don't know enough. I think Elon Musk is wanting to know enough, but I sincerely don't think he's going to get there. He knows a lot. And I think with what he knows, he can get us into new realms of possibility. I do respect the man and his mind. I do not worry about that man's ethics. But he is human. And because he's human, he will also incorporate some laws of the world that we've pretty much considered to be infallible. And that's why some of his rockets fail. But that's another story for another day. That thought could be expanded. So I take back my doubts, because there's no one that God can't use. And God, plus Elon Musk, could actually get us to another level. But God's got to be part of our creator, who has infallible laws, has to be a partner in that stage of evolution. So we'll see. We'll see on that. The things that God has used. He used Moses as an instrument for commanding the sea to split. What else can he do? Nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. But we've got to know what dimension we're focusing our attention on. And I would definitely recommend that you focus on dimensions outside the world, because it will leave you hungry. It ultimately has to fall into scarcity, because there's not enough energy to do it all. You got to reach beyond that. Now, I wanted to get, you may be wondering, well, when is she going to talk about gratitude? Well, it's gratitude is what takes us to the higher level. And I had to express to you, first of all, that all of the levels are involved in gratitude. Even the world. You know, people like when people give, they like it when you say thank you. And more than that, they really like it when you let them know that what they did makes a difference. People don't like to feel impotent. They want to be a giver into this world. They want to make a difference. Gratitude is good everywhere. And it's something I have found that connects all the dimensions of reality, all the way up to God, who loves it when you say thank you. Now, for God, there is no time. There is no space. And this is why Yeshua implemented a prayer, or taught a prayer, shall we say. He taught a prayer that gave gratitude before there was even an asking. Because God already knew what you were asking. And by giving gratitude first, there's no question who you were grateful to. You couldn't have been expressing that gratitude toward people who can't perform until after you've asked them to do something. You couldn't be thanking the laws of nature because they have to perform. And most of all, we never want love, and especially the love of God, to be a transactional event. If you do it, I'll thank you. Love me, and I'll be your friend. Love me, and I'll put you in my will, which you might say to or think it or express it in certain ways to your extended family members. Don't make love transactional. Even though we are not always, or even mostly, unconditional in our love. You know, you go to the hairdresser, and she does an extra special job, and you come out looking like a movie star. You're going to give her a tip. And she expects it. She expects it. I'll tell you how to know that. Next, you don't give her a tip. Next time, you won't come out looking like a movie star. Human nature. It's just human nature. But love, in its essence, in its purity, is unconditional. It's like the teaching of Solomon. The rain doesn't fall only on the good. It falls on the evil. It doesn't bless only the righteous. It blesses the greedy. The rain doesn't ask where to fall. And the thunder and the storm doesn't ask who to be hurt or damaged. It doesn't target you. You can feel. You can actually feel when something is targeting you. Yeah, it took me a little while to figure that out, but it wasn't hard to experience once I saw it. This is why sometimes in some indigenous faiths, I'm not sure they were religions, but they were certainly practices of faith. The power of thunder and lightning were reverent because the people in those days, not knowing anything about gravity or electrodynamics, they didn't know how it worked. They just knew that gravity, lightning, thunder, and windstorms didn't pick enemies. They just performed their duty. They did what they did. And therefore, ancient people really recognized these are just instruments of God to take care of nature as he created it. Nature needs the rain. Nature needs the wind. And so they became reverent toward these elements. I don't think they turned them into gods, but they were reverent to them. And they prayed to them because they knew they were created by God and that they were not being targeted by drought. Drought happened. They were not being targeted by rain. Rain happens. And they learned from that to actually study nature because they knew that what they studied was worth the time they spent studying it because they were dealing with something created by God. If it's created by God, it's worth knowing. It's worth knowing. And I have really, really appreciated the progress in science in the last 10, 20 years. This is my reservation about artificial intelligence. It's not created by God. It's created by humans in their desire to be gods, a little bit distrusted, but I have great faith in us. And I think we will use it for good. And we will use it for connecting globally and correctly and benevolently in the right ways to study this universe and help to create a more benevolent existence within it. And I pray for that constantly. You know, it behooves us with every new thing we discover. We discovered how to navigate the oceans. And what came from that was expansion, creation, and goodness, but a whole lot of disaster and harm, colonization, invasion. And we need to be asking for a lot of forgiveness for having utilized it in a wrongful way. So this can happen for a lot of things when good things discovered have been introduced into a world that has no mercy, but God's infinite mercy is our reason for being grateful. Because if we did not extend mercy to others, we could not receive His mercy. And this is what we are giving gratitude for. Yeshua gave gratitude before each one of His miracles. And why would He need to do that? When He could walk on water, when He could raise the dead, why would He ask? Why would He offer gratitude? Because He cleared the way. Gratitude is how we engage with our Creator and then clear the way, creating a pathway through all the other dimensions we might have to take on with a chainsaw to literally clear a pathway through them. But we have activated mercy when we are grateful. I always pray gratitude before we offer a blessing. Because there are those of you. No, I take that back. Because all of you are receiving a blessing on faith. On faith that God cares. On faith that God is listening. On faith that we are asking for the best. On faith that we can actually receive it. And so is everybody else. We are all asking for mercy of one kind or another. In pursuit of our achievements, maybe we have not done anything wrongful. Maybe we have not broken any rules. Maybe we have not intentionally hurt anyone. Maybe we studied our best, gave our best to be where we are. But at the same time, maybe we are in that place and someone else is not. Someone else who is just as worthy, just as dedicated, was not in the right time and place as you. You were given the opportunity. You're there. and you're grateful. You are grateful to be in service. And you ask for mercy. If you displaced anyone, or if anyone feels you didn't deserve the position. You see, we have endless judgments of one another. And, you know, I've received my share of judgments. And there are people out there who say, well, why you? One of the people I love the most is a missionary, a devoted person who's given their life to help other people. And what did you do? You were an artist. Why you? Well, I'll give you an answer. Why did one of his disciples previously spend his time being a tax collector? Why was another just a fisherman? And why, in the doggone mystery of existence, did he choose Judas? See, he had to choose anyone because it didn't matter who he chose. His action of choosing them was an act of mercy. It was an act of mercy to be chosen. At another point, close to the end, he was talking to the apostles and reminding them that they were actually questioning him for why. He had previously said, don't give your pearls to swine. Walk away because they will turn on you. There's plenty of other people to give your life to. And they got to thinking about that and maybe feeling just a little bit guilty. And I think one of them asked him, well, yeah, and you turned away from some people and you didn't, they wanted a miracle and you didn't give it. Why? And he said, let me remind you of something. You did not choose me. I chose you. Well, that stopped the questions right there. No, they didn't choose him. They wouldn't have even thought of choosing him. And if they had chosen him, it would have been choosing him for extracting benefits. He chose men, and there were women there too, we know. It's just women were not named or acknowledged back in those days. He chose them to let it be a mystery to them why they were chosen, so that they would listen. They would harvest the message, the miracle, and the opportunity to go out to the world and serve. And also, he chose them for another really big reason that this lesson has focused on. Relatability. He knew that they would possess relatability that other people would listen to. And therefore, they would receive. And this goes back to what I've built up as the culmination for the message today. When will the miracle come? When you can relate to it. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes, even though the miracle has been given, the blessing has been given, it's written on your soul. It's written in your heart. It's there. You got to try to see. Well, you know, I'm going to see if I can do this myself. And it's not a bad thing, because you're actually implementing the faith. You're looking inside yourself for faith you have in yourself. That's a good thing. That's not something to stop doing. It's all right to think, well, maybe I've got what it takes. Maybe I just needed to have my confidence built, my faith built. Okay. And you find you can't. And then maybe I just need to use my faith to find the right people in this world who can help me. You do. And they can't. And so you get to the point where you got to go to God. And that's when you knock on the door. And that's what the knock on the door is all about. It's not about knocking on your own door, which would be developing confidence. It's not about knocking on the door of a surgeon. He may be trained in that field or not. Might send you to somebody else or not, but you're knocking, but that's not the door that's going to open. You've got to knock on a door that can and will open. And that's the door of God. The only one that can do anything. The only one that can revise the plan. Well, He revised my plan today. I had thought this was, I had a quote to read to you from, the keys of Yeshua about belief. And it's a wonderful quote. I would highly recommend reading that chapter this week. And now I am so grateful. So grateful that this recording can actually be posted. And those who couldn't be here today can go and listen. And you can listen again. And without your generosity, we wouldn't have that today. We wouldn't. And we have so many wonderful thoughts and plans about how we can expand to the world. But we won't be able to do it until we're a team. So I'm glad I asked, and I knew who to ask. And so many of you said yes. I'm there. I'm on the team. And it doesn't matter how much. It could do one penny, but I'm on the team. And now we're going to bring about some more blessings. How about that? And also part of our blessing givers training is how to be in a very, very unconditional state of mind and heart so that these blessings can have no boundaries. They can go out to the world and around the world and into the lives of people who don't even think there is a God, who don't even think there is anything above or beyond the world. So this is why when you're going through the blessing, I want you to pray for while you're receiving the blessing, I want you to pray for your blessing, what you need, what you want, and what you want for other people or what you want for the world, that you're going to direct it into you, because the blessings that are being given are like a broad spray, kind of like, well, let's just say if we were an on-the-air television channel, which, who knows, maybe someday we may be, but let's just say we are now, because that's the power of the blessing. Well, your prayer is like your Wi-Fi connection that pulls in that part of you that you need that can change your life, that others need, that you love, and you want to lift up or improve their life. Then we ask you to go and lie down. I would say on your bed, but sofa's okay. Mat on the floor is fine, as long as you're horizontal. Because we don't want anything about your body to think it's better or more important than any other thing about your body. And your mind is awfully good about trying to assume a senior position. And it's not. If there is a senior position, it's your heart. But actually, your whole body is touched by your soul. And in being in that horizontal position, your soul can imprint the blessing everywhere. Okay. And to expedite that, we want movement. You've probably been sitting for quite a while listening to me, leaning into the message. And, okay, I'm going to say thank you. I loved it. And now I'm moving on. Normally we take calls at this point, but the message went a little bit long today, and we don't want to cut into the power of the message itself. So I want you to get up, move, and you might be, you might be just a little stove up, as my old Pappy used to say. That was a term the pioneers had, because they built their life around a wood stove, and it built carbon and ash over the months, and you had to take it down and shake it out, and then you put it back on, and then it could draw heat again. And they call it being stove up. Like, it's been sitting too long. We haven't cleaned it out. I just noticed from my, I checked in on the board, Nancy. I would love to have had some input from people today, but if any of you that are on the board need me to know something, because I can offer a blessing and prayers during the week, write me at askablessing.org. And I will get it. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I think this is what we'll do in the future when I run. But don't you think it was worth it, Nancy?
I do. I can feel the gratitude from everyone. I can sense that for sure. And very powerful message, Glenda. Thank you.
You can change everybody. You can change the world. You can. 12 people did a long time ago. And we've got more than 12, you know, and we've got positions of safety from which we can do it. Nothing's going to stop us, baby. Nothing's going to stop us, because we've got the best coach that ever was.
Yeah. It's a whole new ballgame.
It is, and don't ever think that you can't just ask for understanding. It's one of the most important things you can ask, whether it's about scripture or what's going wrong in the world or what's not quite up to par with your body. Or let's say you got a business and it's just not producing like it should. You can ask, what's not working? I need understanding. Can you help me understand? This is an answer the Holy Spirit loves to answer, and he'll fill your heart and your mind with things so fast you can't even take notes. You will not, you ask that question and you won't be left unanswered. And I'm talking about immediately. Be prepared with a notepad when you ask that question. You ask for understanding. Most of the time, understanding even expedites forgiveness. It expedites better cooperation. It expedites understanding other people better. It expedites how will I finance something. It expedites where will I go next. There's no notepad long enough to say what just a simple answer to understanding can do. Okay, everybody, be ready. I want you to be moving. Stretch your legs. Stand on them if you can. Stretch them if you really can. And what you can't do, lean on a chair back or a sofa back and stretch your body enough that it says, okay, we are going into action. And you are, because you will be receiving your blessing sitting down. And I don't want your body to think, okay, I can go back to sleep. Uh-uh. It's going to be very active, but on a high frequency level. It's going to move through your body probably thousands of times in the course of only a few minutes. And from that, and because of that, you need to rest afterwards. You need to assimilate what's happening. And that's why I want you to lie down flat, flat, and just be in a state of openness, vulnerability, and receiving. Okay? And then after that, just get on with your day. And don't keep asking, well, when's the blessing coming? Well, when will I know? And just get on with your day. When that blessing comes, it's God's business. And he doesn't break his promises. But your field of acceptance may not be quite right now. But some part of it may come right now. Sometimes blessings come in stages. You have to be realistic and open about that. Okay, blessing givers, will you please join me? I'm going to stand and offer my prayer to Yeshua. Yeshua. Christ, the anointed one, who is also God. The one who came to live with us and be with us, to guide us through all of the problems of life. And to show us where the answers lie. I should say lay. I don't like, even if it's used correctly, I don't like the word lie because it doesn't pertain to God. Where all the answers lay. They're waiting for you to knock on the door. And if you really contemplate it, oh yeah, the knock will come. And we know you will answer. You will be there. And thank you for that promise. Thank you for being the fulfillment of God's promise. He created us to be what we are now envisioning. And we have someone to call on to help us do it. And we thank you that you did the work to make God relatable, that we can know God and allow him to know us. We ask sincerely that you take our love to our Heavenly Father and to the Holy Spirit who cherishes our love, and let them know how much we love them. and we love you. We ask for blessings to those who don't know to ask, but will be filled, because you love us all as if we were one. And you bless us all as if we were one. For being created in the image of God, we were originally created as one. We ask that you bless the children, that you feed the poor, and you give hope to those who are hopeless or feel like life has failed them. We ask that you raise the dead spiritually until such a time comes when you raise the dead in their fullness. Amen. Begin your prayer now. And blessing givers, let us begin offering the blessing.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to rest at least 7 minutes. Just find a place to stretch out and be level. And let life level up with you. Have a blessed week. And I look forward to having you again whenever you can. You're always welcome. And it's always free. Bye-bye for now.